The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
What's coming up on today's experience? Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they make an excellent transition into the teaching. That's kind of why we use them. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, the media does an excellent job of brain bleaching. Very nice. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? That's pretty easy, because just like you, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. I don't know how many times we got to tell you that. We don't know what we're doing. Hey, in case you didn't hear this, we don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thingy there. Have we ever been hurt in a fellowship before? This is the question. And does that keep us out of fellowship now? Ooh. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We find that to be rather sad. All you got to do is reach out and give us a call. I know it's a telephone, but you can do it. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, wow, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Amazing Jen.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And with her is Jacob, who doesn't have his nickname yet. So everybody be working on a nickname for Jacob. He's working on it. I'm working on it. Everybody's working on it. Here is the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got a praise report or a prayer request. Maybe you got something going on. You need other people to join their faith with your faith. Great. If you think of faith as a quarter, because being born and raised Jewish, then becoming a Christian, then being involved in seven ministry plants, church plants throughout the United States, then getting a BA, a master's, and a doctorate, when you go through all that stuff, here's what you figure out. If faith is like a quarter, and I have two quarters, that's more than one quarter. Thank you. So that's the whole thing. See, two is greater than one. And even if you're in the woke culture, it doesn't matter how the two feels. It doesn't matter how the one feels. Two is still greater than one. Get it? Okay. So in that process, if we can combine our faith with yours, we'll pray and ask the Lord for help. If you've got a praise report, something you want to share, we love it. It's awesome. I forgot to print the praise report that I was going to bring today because I only have three quarters of a brain and only one quarter is working today. That's just how it goes. But in the meantime, you got something you want to call in on or you want to text, you can text 214-210-8483. Let me say that again, 214-210-8483. Here's a non-professional voice to help you with this.
214-210-8483.
I don't even get paid for that. And as well, you can also send an email to us live during the show. That's right. So in San Diego right now, it is 11:35. No, it's 11:36 on the dot. And right now in Texas, it's 1:36 and 05 seconds right now on the dot. You can just send us an email. You can give us a call. You can send us a text. Any of that stuff's great. We love it. The email, by the way, david@hemustincrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, nothing else, @hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website because on the website is a ton of cool stuff. You can win $1 million. Not on our website. You can just win it somewhere. I don't know. Not here. Here's the bottom line. On the website is encouraging words, encouraging videos, encouraging articles. You get the drift. Encouraging people, challenging us to draw closer to the Lord step by step, one step at a time. Just getting one step closer. That's a victory on every level. Also on the website is an opportunity to give and partner with the ministry. We give you this scripture to think about that, 2 Corinthians 8:3. For I testify according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. I'm not going to stress it any more than I already have. We could use it. That'd be great if you can do it. Awesome. If not, don't stress. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
That's right. Just remember that. We don't need roads where we're going. I don't know where we're going, but that's not the point. We don't need roads, okay? You following that? All right, good. All right, so many things to tell you. Please be praying for D. We've asked you to do that. Pray for Don. It's not easy to be a station owner. I wouldn't do it in a bazillion years. Pray for Jennifer. She's training Jacob. Pray for Jacob. Why? Because he needs prayer too. You got to be covering him too. This is part of the process, man. We're doing it together as a team. What are we doing? Trying to step one. They take that one step, get closer to the Lord, and trying to be available for him to use us to advance his kingdom. In the meantime, let's talk about his kingdom. How should we do that, Dave? Because we're in Matthew chapter 13. Doesn't seem like it'll be that difficult to do. We'll pick it up from verse 24. So it's Matthew chapter 13. Verse 24, also known as the story of the wheat and the weeds. Here we go. Verse 24, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in the field. But that night, as everyone slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's servants came and told him, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed, it's full of weeds." "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Shall we pull out the weeds?" they asked. He replied, "No. You'll hurt the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds and burn them, and to put the wheat into the barn." Wow. First of all, I doubt Jesus taught with that much inflection, but I don't know because I wasn't there. But that's my own inflection. When I read it, I think that's probably how it went. That's just how I think. But here we are. We're in the heart of parable country. The heart of parable country, that's right. Matthew 13 is loaded with parables. And Jesus brings a few more to the forefront to help us better understand the kingdom of God. Let me say this for those that are trying to figure out, what is the kingdom of God? Ready? You'll just best answer ever. You got to give George Ladd all the credit for this. Ready? The kingdom of God is where God is king. That's the kingdom of God. When he's king of people's lives, of their circumstances, their situations, their existence, their pathways. Wherever the Lord is king, there is the kingdom of God. So what we want to do is understand, first without getting super theological, that there is not, let me say this again, not
Negative.
No distinction between the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord, and the kingdom of heaven. There is no difference between them. Yes, people try and say, well, this one's this, and this one's this, and this one's this. Fantasyland. That doesn't exist. Let's get to the story. The story is on the wheat and the weeds. And this parable is a little easier to grasp than other parables, specifically the one with the sower, because it's shorter. So further on down the text, Jesus explains this parable as well. The kingdom is likened to a farmer who plants good seed in a field. Guess who the farmer is? Take a guess. Roll the dice. It's Jesus. Guess who the good seeds are? It's the people of the kingdom. Now here's where it gets sticky. Right? So the farmer has planted seeds. At night while everyone's asleep. Remember, it's a story. It's not a perfect translation to everything that happened. Jesus is teaching by story. His enemy comes and plants weeds among the wheat. First of all, not nice. Second of all, with the wheat, now there are weeds. What does that do? That makes it kind of weird looking, right? Should have been a whole group of wheat. Now it's a whole group of wheat and weeds intermixed. And here's the problem. As the growth of the weeds took place, the growth of the weeds and the wheat were doing it together. I just want to hint you here. I just want to kind of stop you here and hint right here. Remember that God put in the Garden of Eden the knowledge of good and evil. And when man ate from that, what happened? They grew in knowledge of what? Good and evil, and they both grow together. Maybe a little attachment there to the garden if you're thinking that through. But at night, when darkness has its cover, the enemy of the farmer plants weeds amongst all the weeds. All the wheat. Who is the enemy? It's the devil. You have to know the enemy is out there. You know, when you said yes to Jesus, awesome sauce. That's just great. You get to, you get all the bennies that come from eternal life and from God being on your side. You get all that stuff because you've surrendered to the Lord. You also inherited the worst enemy your brain could ever fathom in the capacity that this being, the enemy, the devil, there's no devil. He's just in a red suit. He comes, first of all, as an angel of light. So that should tell you right away, red suit devil, not really happening. Okay, it's just a bad. It's actually from earlier on drawings. It's just dumb. That's number one. Number two, the enemy is there, not like he has a choice. This is one of those things for those of you that are catching the theology. The enemy doesn't have a choice. You think that people that are Satanists are like, he's as strong as God. Well, see, God can go from the earth to Pluto to Jupiter to any other planet, but Satan can't leave the earth except to make his name known when he's called, when God calls him up to heaven. He's stuck. So for all those people that are big-time Satanists going, Satan's going to win, Satan's going to win, the dude can't even get off the planet without permission, let alone win the war. He is stuck where he is. But God is awesome in what he does and wastes nothing. And even though the devil is a terrible being, he is still God's flunky, and it doesn't change, no matter what you want to say. Because guess what? In Job, Satan had to ask permission to touch Job. In the New Testament, Satan had to ask permission to touch Peter. Doesn't that just show you he has to ask permission? That's not the problem. The problem is so many times the Lord goes, okay, well, you can do this. That's the problem. All right, now let's take a deep breath. And do our first trivia question. Here it is. Jesus was baptized where? Was he baptized in the Jordan River, at the Dead Sea, or at the Red River? Where was Jesus baptized? Wow, there it is. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you're welcome to reach out to us. You can simply call 972-445-0770. Again, I know it's a phone. I know it's scary, but we promise we won't make it hard for you. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So I do want to remind people, keeping everybody into the loop of things, where was Jesus baptized? Jordan River, Dead Sea, or Red River? That's what we got going on. We have somebody that is already ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
I'm glad to hear you're okay.
I'm going to guess it's not the Red River, since that's awful close to where we're at.
That is an excellent deduction right there. You are definitely on a roll there. That's a good one. What else we got left? We got the Jordan River or the Dead Sea? What do you got?
Well, since baptism is supposed to be burying the past, I'm not going to say the Dead Sea. I'm going to say the Jordan River.
That is correct, sir! You are right! Yeah, actually, that's a really good analogy right there, because if it was the Dead Sea, you're trying to come back up into a new life. It's like a Dead Sea really wouldn't help with that process. It's like, wait, that's not a good idea. So excellent deductive ability, sir. That is the way to stay on top of it.
Thank you. You have a blessed day.
All right, you too, brother. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. People are like, what's wrong with you people? I don't know. I was not. I was 9 when I fell on my head. Let's see. I was going into the garage. I grabbed the rope, flipped upside down on the ceiling of the garage, took 3 steps. The rope broke, and I went smash right down on my head. And that was 2 weeks before my brother's bar mitzvah. So for me, I'll just say I dropped on my head when I was a youth. So that's what's wrong with me. Yeah, okay. All right, let's go back to the text. Here we go. Keeping it simple, so let's go back to verse 26 of Matthew 13. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's servants came and told him, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. An enemy has done this," the father exclaimed. So I want to talk about this because this is an essential moment in not just Jesus' teaching, but in our Christian walk. It is superbly important for you and I to understand that in the cover of the night, the enemy is taking activity in this story. And why that's important is because the enemy doesn't come to you and go, "Hi, I'm the enemy. Nice to meet you. Hey, I'm going to try and mess up your life now. I hope you enjoy it." That is not how that goes. He doesn't come and present his business card, and it doesn't say on the business card, 666, here to make things goofy. He comes in a stealth mode. He's called a thief. A thief is one who operates, actually the Greek definition, one who operates by stealth. That's what it means. And so the enemy comes and he tries to do things against the growing wheat. Hey, here's a fun thought. That's you. Isn't that just, boy, way to cheer me up for the week, Dave. Yeah, no problem. Here's the bottom line. There's some things that you go through, and you go through them, and they are because the Lord has allowed them, and you just kind of leave it there. And then there's some things you go through because you and I make stupid decisions. And because we make stupid decisions, we reap what we sow. But sometimes there's somebody who's sabotaging. It's not all the time. We said this last week. We've said it probably, I don't know, in 1,000 shows, we've said it probably 1,000 times. Behind every rock is not a demon, but that doesn't mean there's no demons behind any rocks. And so you need to kind of be aware there's a balance there. And Jesus points out, hey, in this case, this is like the enemy. So when darkness has its cover, the enemy of the farmer plants weeds amongst all of the wheat. Without getting too deep into the weeds, See, that's a joke. We need to recognize there's an enemy that plants people. close to us to try to wound us and affect our growth. Uh-oh. No, wait, wait, Dave. You didn't say that. Everybody is a child of God, no matter what. Well, don't tell Jesus. Because on more than 7 occasions, he said, that is incorrect. Well, what does he know? He's only the Messiah. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is some people, their father is God, and some people, their father is the devil. And that's a fact. You can't undo the truth. It's biblical truth. We'll say it again. God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Let's just leave it there. But some people are planted, and they're planted to wound us and to affect our growth. Now, the people that are the weeds that are planted there to affect our growth, they belong to Satan. I know we don't want to hear it, but they've already made their commitment not to be touched by God, not to surrender to God, not to yield to God. And those are the people that Satan is controlling and influencing. This is one of the reasons that the gospel talks about finding freedom through Jesus Christ. So, before you start picking out somebody that's irritated you and said, that person's from Satan, slow your roll. take a deep breath. Okay. Just because somebody does something wrong, because somebody cuts you off on the freeway, let me use this as a great illustration. Since I drive about 37 miles a day on the Dallas freeways, because somebody cuts you off on the freeway, that does not mean they're satanic. Or boy, Dallas is loaded. Anyways, I just want to say, don't do that. You just need to have a genuine session with the Lord in good discernment, good prayer, and good fellowship to know, hey, this person, every time I have contact, they are draining me out of my faith. They are tearing me away. You won't believe it. I won't even tell you how it happened or whatever. But I had this happen yesterday during the show. Somebody who hadn't texted me in a year, or almost a year, texted me about somebody I hadn't known or talked to in 45 years, trying to make it that there was some kind of connection, that I had an interest, which couldn't be any farther than the truth, and the whole thing was simply a distraction and a plant. And I knew it, so I didn't even respond. Waited till I got home, talked to my wife, because she's a lot smarter than I am. And we talked about it, thought about it, counseled on it, and then made a decision on how to respond. You think I'm kidding? That's exactly what happened yesterday. That's the stuff that happens. And you have to be aware that sometimes the enemy pops people into your life at the weirdest times in the weirdest ways, and they're not there for any other person than to get you to look elsewhere. I mean, that's just not good. So when the people come in this story that Jesus tells, they say, "Shall we pull out the weeds?" Because they know why. The weeds are bad. The reply is amazing. No. See, this is where I want to talk to Jesus and go, really? Really? Are you sure? Really? He says, no. You'll hurt the wheat if you do. Both are going to grow together until the harvest. Now, you can freak out on your own about the eschatology in this, because when Jesus gives the explanation, it definitely gives you a pause. It makes you think, maybe it's not as perfect as we say. But he says this, both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds and burn them and put the wheat into the barn. The question in the parable is, how does the farmer want to take care of the weeds and the wheat as they're growing together? Does he pull them out? Nope. He does want us to be aware, but he does not completely eradicate them from the field that the wheat is in. What? Yeah, that's why you need discernment. I want to pull out the weeds. He doesn't want to. In other words, there's no rapture of the bad, so to speak. We're going to have them both grow together until the harvest. Then at the harvest, we'll separate the weeds and the wheat and burn them. While placing the weeds will be burned and the wheat will be safely in the barn. Almost sounds like the opposite of what everybody talks about the rapture. Yeah, and if you use this eschatologically, you're going to have some messes in there because it does mess things up. But here's the reality check. You need to pray for protection from wheat that is there to distract. And you need to have the discernment from God to know. Don't just do it based on your feelings. Why? Because if I go to Taco Bell right now and I eat 16 tacos, 12 churros, and 15 Mountain Dews, I will not feel the love of God. I will absolutely feel other things. I will just not feel the love of God. It can't be based on feelings. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to help you and I discern good, bad, indifferent, keep away, keep a distance, make a wall. You should know that. I mean, this is not new stuff, but Jesus was teaching this to the people. And then as we get into it later on, he will take this to his disciples and break it down point by point. What's important in all of this? There are weeds out there that you need to be aware of planted by the enemy. You are not allowed to eradicate them from the existence of the earth, but you are allowed to find your safety in the Lord and to protect yourself. See that difference? Okay, I know. Everybody's like, no, I want to be able to eradicate them. Okay, I appreciate that. there's moments where I don't totally disagree with it, but you got to follow the scripture. You got to do what Jesus said. Okay, get it? Okay, cool. All right, now, if you're in San Diego, my friends, whom I love because I was in San Diego for 5 years teaching, you can keep listening to this show by going to hemusincrease.org. Or you can also listen on the KAAM app. If you're in Texas land, in Dallas land, all you got to do is hang on as we're taking this break and we get ready to come back into the next structure of teaching. Should be just as much fun. Taking a break. Talk to you soon. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
He's not trying to communicate in a weird sense. He's telling everybody that's there when they're like, hey, dude, your mom and your bros, man, out there, right here. They're coming right here. And Jesus is like, you know who my mom and my bros are? They're the people that hear the word of God and do it. And we had a presidential candidate not too long ago, I will not name him, who specifically, and nobody can tell me he didn't say it because I heard every word, specifically said we got to make our three priorities, family, faith, and friends. That guy is so wrong, I thank God Almighty he never became president. Why? Because family does not come before faith. If it does, you are in trouble. Jesus said in Matthew 10:27, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Uh-oh. This is like, well, he didn't mean it. Oh, because then he said this right after. Or if you love your son and daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. He didn't mean that either. It's like, see, you can't get away from it. Because you love your mother, you love your father, you love your son, you love your dad, you love anybody more than me, you are in trouble. Okay? Here's the bottom line. There's nothing wrong with family. There's nothing wrong with friends. But they are behind your faith. Your faith is first. You want to know why? You want me to give you the math on the whole issue? Yeah, I'm going to give you the math. You know, I mean, numbers don't lie. It's just people who use numbers that lie. Okay, here you go. Ready? 80, 90, or 100 years versus 60 billion, gazillion, trezillion years. Which one's bigger? Okay, 80, 90 years, 100 years. That's family and friends. Your faith, a zillion, bazillion, gazillion, trezillion, a bazillion years. Get it? Math doesn't lie. It's just the people that use math. So, don't forget that. Statistics don't lie. It's just the people that do them. You know, studies don't lie. It's just the people that write them.
The David Spoon Experience.